As the voice of Chicago innovation, each week we look for innovators that have set out to reshape entire industries. Erica Weigel is the CEO of Arrow Metal Stamping, a turnkey source for low, medium, and high volume precision metal stamping and assemblies for prototype through production, heat sinks, shields, covers, clips, springs, brackets, and more. I'm Scott Catoon, and it's time to start talking about tomorrow's business today. Erica, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
That little thing at the end was a little bit of a mouthful for me. This is the second consecutive show that I'm going to plug Ravine Gandhi, who was on my show this past week. He does GMM non-stick coating. Mm-hmm. And I thought I hit like the granularest level I possibly could when I got to non-stick coating. But here we are talking about stamping metals. So I guess there's always new things to talk about.
The metals need coating too.
Everybody needs coating. Who doesn't need a little coating? So I actually was brought onto the company and saw what you were doing through our friends over at Red Caffeine, Kathy Steele, who's been on my she wasn't on this show yet. She was on a previous show that I did. Mm-hmm. Do you work with them heavily, or are you just in all of the?
Yeah, Red Caffeine will be taking over Arrow Metal Stamping's marketing campaign.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I did not know that. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Well, congratulations to Kathy Steele and the chicks over there. That's awesome. So I guess why don't you start off by telling everyone what. Some people probably don't know what metal stamping is and how it works.
Sure. A tool and die metal stamping industry is when we take raw material metals and we make progressive tools. And then from beginning to end, we end up with a piece part that we can use, such as a transmission piece, airbag clip parts, or even appliances for your washer and dryer.
Very interesting. So like I'd said with Ravine, his tools one way or another are in the hands of 40 million users. Which is just insane. But I don't think people realize how many components and things go into everything you use. You don't realize that, like, I look at a washing machine and it's like a box of metal to me. Like, I have no idea. You flip it upside down and there's probably 50 companies that
Correct.
Are represented in making that happen, which I think is super fascinating. I've always thought manufacturing as a whole as an industry is a very interesting industry to me, at least, which is rare, I think. Most millennial age people, I'm 31, most millennials don't really find manufacturing to be the most entertaining area or space. So I kind of wanted to pivot with you a little bit on this. One, you are a female CEO of a manufacturing firm, which is, I would say, rare.
Correct.
And then the other thing, just in general, about what got you into this industry in the first place.
Well, my father had my father owns Weigel Tool Works, which I ended up working there after college and before college. But I spent my summer since third grade on working with my dad in the shop, and I found it a real good opportunity just to learn things from my dad. We'd go around even on Saturdays and Sundays when we had work overload just to play in the shop. And then I got to get a feel of it. I like to work with my hands. And so I actually ended up going to school for engineering and then getting my degree for engineering just to keep on continuing with the business.
Very cool. So we've had numerous female CEOs, female founders, women tech founders. We try to propel that conversation as much as we possibly can. And I think it's kind of an interesting conversation. Chicago is actually at the forefront when it comes to women in tech. I think we have a lot of women tech companies, women in technology, and obviously we would like that to be a lot more.
Correct.
Illinois as a whole, though, if you step outside of the inner Chicago area and you start to look at women-run businesses, it becomes to be significantly less, and you were definitely helping with that. What has been your experience, particularly in manufacturing? Because that's a very, you know, especially within the United States and a lot of southwestern states that are in manufacturing, that's got to be a little bit of a challenge.
I've overcome the challenge. I've been in the industry for so long. I've learned what to do and what not to do. But we have to realize that with the downturn in the economy and back in 08 and 09, a lot of the major companies of the world got rid of their force, gave them a nice hefty payout for them to go. So it's leading a way for a lot more people to come into the market. And with many people retiring, that also brings a shortage of skilled position, labor positions as well. A lot of women are more or less going into the arena. They didn't know it was alive. They didn't know it was coming back. It was offshoring a lot. A lot of it going to China, Mexico, but it's starting to come back. I've been working with high schools and colleges for the last 10, 15 years, going in and educating people about the manufacturing industry. And just because you're not good at tools and wrenches doesn't mean that there's not a spot for you within the manufacturing industry. We're getting into things like sensoring for our parts and our cameras and vision systems. Women that like to do photography and things like that, there is a place for them in the manufacturing industry. And it's so broad that I don't think that a good word was getting out there. So my group, me and my group and a few other colleagues, we get out there and spread the word. And I think it's catching on.
What is the group? Where do you guys go and do this other than
Well, I belong to the TMA, the Women in Manufacturing, all these other groups. But I reach out to local high schools and get in there and see if I can do presentations. I also set up a scholarship at Northern Illinois University on my behalf because I did graduate from there from an engineering degree. And I think when I graduated from there, there was five or less women that graduated with me.
Wow.
And I think only one other one is still in the field.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I mean, this is a perfect opportunity. If you know, there are women who listen to this show, obviously from Women Tech Founders and things like that in the audience. What would be something that you say to people when you go into the school? What is that like key word of advice?
That your parents' image of a manufacturing facility is out the door. It's not that dirty place anymore. It's very high skilled, very high tech. We're doing things with computers and buttons and robotics. You can wear a nice dress and leave with a nice dress. It's just, you want to have nice nails, you can leave with nice nails. That's not the point anymore. The point is we're very highly technology-driven, and it's not the mom-and-pop shop of turning greasy machines anymore.
Yeah. It's interesting. You know, I think about, like, my father's been in manufacturing for, like, 35 years at Micron Transformer in Oak Brook, or they're out of Oak Brook. And, I mean, when I would go to the plant, the plant's in, like, Sterling or something now, so I haven't been there in forever. But when I used to go as a kid, I don't think I ever saw a single female there, now that I think about it. And the idea that not only can women get into the technology side and actually work in the plant, but the fact that that door is also open to take positions in the C-level and eventually start their own businesses or become the CEO or the CFO or whatever that, you know, position might be. I think a lot of people in general are intimidated by the idea of going into somewhere and try to become an executive at this place. Women in particular, and then manufacturers even more in particular. What has been your biggest learning moment and maybe the biggest challenge you've had, both as a professional first and foremost, and then also as a female in manufacturing?
Well, as a professional, I think breaking through the doors. Everyone had their little groups that they had, and now those groups are starting to break up. So it's now getting your foot back in the door, getting a place. But it's about proving who you are. I can say that I'm a great stamper, but until you give me a challenge and a project that I can do and work on and overcome those challenges, talk is cheap. So I like to put my mouth where my actions are. I like to give you product samples. I would like to bring people through the shop, see what I have, see what I'm capable of before people make up their mind. And I would say the problems would be funding. Funding is a hard thing to get. You need people behind you, you need a bank behind you, you need support behind you. So I would think that on my aspect, the business part is easy. The funding is the hard part.
So I'm glad you said that. We're going to take a little detour here that I didn't have on my little board here. So one of the there's Rev3, which is in Naperville. I'm sure you're at least familiar with Rev3.
I am.
So downtown here, we've got numerous accelerators and incubators, and there's some good angels and there's some bad angels, and they're all sort of floating around the space. And funding, you know, as crazy as it sounds, the money part is actually not the challenge. It's the good money and the smart money, the money that you can actually grow.
Correct.
Is somewhat challenging. I've noticed in my work down here that once I go back home to the suburbs and go by Naperville, I live right by Naperville, that the funding becomes more bank heavy and like one individual person who worked in manufacturing and sold their company or retired. And that's the only person you can go to for funding because that's the only person who understands what you're doing and what your profit model is like. Have you ever thought of, or do you come downtown and experience what maybe finding young tech startup companies that have an eye on the manufacturing space and maybe try to tap into some of the funding that they're receiving?
That I haven't. With the TMA and the Tooling Association I belong to, it's 1,000 member companies, yep. And we lean on each other for support. So through my TMA community, so that's how I was able to get funding. It's who you know.
Sure,
that's how I did it.
I've actually met with some of the guys from TMA, and obviously IMA. I had Greg Bays on the show with a couple months ago or whatever. I really, really suggest that whether it's you on your own or you get the guys from TMA to come down here, UI Labs and Catalyze, and there's a whole bunch of places that are doing cool stuff, Fulton Market, that have startup companies that are receiving, I would say, a significant amount of funding. I mean, there's over $100 million consecutive months in funding in Chicago for companies that I think are in that kind of tech 3D printing, reverse engineering space. And it could be really interesting if you guys could bring your businesses down here and the funding would be not just funding, but it would also be bringing on assets, bringing on new startup companies that you can invest in and they can invest in you. My goal of this show really has always been to try to bring those two parties together. So maybe this is an opportunity for that.
It could be, yes.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for coming in today, telling us a little bit about Arrow and your journey. Where can people find out more about Arrow?
At www.arrowmetal.com. It's ArrowMetal.com. And I just want to make a comment about the women.
Sure.
I have 28 members in my shop, and I believe half of them are women.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Where can people go to like actually listen to you talk and have you or call you to have you come and speak to them?
You can get me on LinkedIn. That's a great place to reach me. Or my email address would be Erica.Weigel@ArrowMetal.com.
Very cool. Thank you, Erica, so much for coming on. You can watch this episode and more at advisor.tv, stream us on the WGN Plus or Rivet Radio app, download each episode on iTunes, and remember to stay connected by following us on Twitter at TBT on WGN. Boom, that's a wrap.